The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things at the hands of elders, chief priests, and religious scholars, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Rabbi," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get yourself behind me, you Satan. You are trying to make me stumble and fall. You are setting your mind not on the things of God, but on the things of mortals." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "If you wish to come after me, you must deny your very selves, take up the instrument of your own death, and begin to follow in my footsteps. If you would save your life, you will lose it. But if you would lose your life for my sake, you will find it. What profit would you show if you gained the whole world but lost yourself? What can you offer in exchange for your very self? The Promised One will come in the glory of Abba God, accompanied by the angels, and will repay all according to their conduct." The good news of salvation. So I don't know if you were paying attention when Maureen was reading the greeting, but the theme is, who wants to be in charge of the world? Any takers? Tammy does. Okay. Alice does too. Good. Anybody else want to be in charge of the world? Okay. Well, at least we know who to go to now, don't we? Yeah. It's like, but we do. I mean, we'd like to be the director, wouldn't we? We'd like to be able to... make peace in the world, make everybody happy. In the bulletin theme, I put that song by Tony Bennett in terms of, if I ruled the world, every day would be a first day of spring. You know, and those of you who don't know who Tony Bennett is, I'm sorry. That was a long time ago. But we want a world that is at peace and everyone's needs to be taken care of and nobody to be hurting and everybody to be fed and everybody to have housing that wants it. And we want a perfect world, and that isn't where we are. And so we do thirst for God, like the psalm. Our soul is thirsting. It's like, God, what are you doing? How can you help us? How can you help us make the world better? I've often talked about the cross being that intersection of humanity, and God's will and power and grace. You know, God's presence is always with us, and it intersects with us where we are, with what's going on in our lives. And we see so much pain, and we see people hurting and just terrible things happening in climate and disasters and everywhere. And so it's like, okay, God, I see that I'm right here in this intersection. What do I do? What do I do? Sometimes our crosses, or what we seem to think of as crosses, are accidental, and they are human experience and their illness and their stuff that just happens. Sometimes we have crosses that we behave ourselves into, that we have to figure out how to change our behavior. So Jesus is talking in this gospel about the crosses we choose in health, meaning we're not choosing them because of sick reasons. We're choosing them because it's a healthy thing to do as a Christian. It's a healthy thing to give sacrificially. It's a healthy thing to endure for a greater good on purpose. So I ask you to pause a minute and think about that in terms of, when have you, in little or big ways, said no to something inside yourself in order for a greater good? Sometimes they're small things and sometimes they're big things. I remember a couple Lents ago when we put our change in a glass in the middle of our table for the thing we didn't buy that day, like a Starbucks or a candy bar or coffee or whatever, and instead we put it in the change jar. And that made me very aware of doing something sacrificial. Doesn't seem like much, right, to give up a little something, a little treat, in order to give to somebody else. But it day by day by day, that kind of hit me in terms of that. Anybody who's involved in caregiving for spouses, for relatives, for other people, that is a tremendous gift, a sacrificial gift. And it's also a gift for the care receiver. They're making a sacrifice too, to not be unwilling to receive. I remember when Greg and I told our parents that we were going to the Jesuit Volunteer Corps in the Northwest. We were young, we didn't have kids yet, but we both quit full-time jobs to go. And our parents were like, "Are you out of your minds?" And they were very unhappy. And I was very grateful that we went. And of course, that's a big thing. But we could do it then, and we did do it then, and we both were transformed by the process. So in those little cross decision moments, Paul Dezet says something is being formed in the place you most want to leave. So there's the places in our lives where that cross is there and we don't want it. And we most want to leave it. And to have faith that God is there in the midst of it and will transform us if we're willing in the midst of it. Whew. That's hard sometimes, really hard. And so I guess what I want to say to you is, look around your life, and if there are parts that you find yourself wondering about your priorities, take a look this week. You know, take a look and say, is that the most important thing? Am I getting what I want, or am I giving what I want? Am I giving to people in need? Am I pouring out myself in any way, or am I filling myself up in unhealthy ways? I want to say that I don't think Jesus is talking about martyrdom for us. And at the same time, there may be someone among us that is their call. But mostly it's a call to give up that thing at that intersection. and give instead. Sometimes it might be reaching out to somebody who is unpopular or marginalized, or hanging out with them or inviting them to supper. And Jesus talked a lot about that. Somebody who's hurting. I always have to check my motivation, you know, in terms of, am I doing this because I want to be a good person and I want credit for that? Am I getting a check mark in heaven for doing that? Or is it really about something more than that? That it's not about me at that moment, it's about the other person or the situation. And so, as you know, in our culture, we have lots of things going on. Lots of things going on in ways that we can step up, ways we can pray, ways we can speak to people, ways we can love more, give people a smile, reach out. So where is that place in you that's a rub? And what might you do to ask for God's grace in the midst of it? As I look around, I know you're dealing with all kinds of things, from kids to elderly people to health issues and dementia and accidents and cancer and all kinds of things. And at the same time, we know that God is there with us in it and can help us be transformed as the helper or the person that is suffering be transformed. And we know that can happen. So when I think about the rocks we passed out last weekend, we're all imperfect. God's not expecting perfection. God is expecting us to look at ourselves. And I try to do that at the end of the day, you know, to do the examine and look at my day and say, where could I have been kinder or more generous, or where did I push my way and my control, mine in being in charge of the world, instead of yielding. And that's a lovely word to look at too. I didn't want to come and talk to you about this today very bad. It's not a very fun thing to talk about. And yet, if you look back on those hardest times, I'm hoping there was growth, that there was transformation in the midst of that. Were there fruits? So just one more thing to let you ponder on. It may seem unrelated. The absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Just because we can't see it, mark it, taste it, check it off the box, does not mean that the presence isn't there. The absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So Jesus assures us that he will be with us in all time, in every situation, every moment. And so we celebrate that both among each other, in terms of we can be the presence of God to one another, and we also celebrate it in terms of Jesus being with us when we think that Jesus might be absent. As far as I know, he hasn't got an excuse from a teacher yet to be absent. So we'll just assume he's present. I appreciate you all so much. And I appreciate what you're going through and what you will go through and what I will, and that you are here. And that you're supporting each other and you're choosing your faith. And that's a very good thing. Amen.